Tony, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us, Tony. Now, just first up, can you explain how the AMA's proposed measures would lead to a decrease of sugar consumption in Australia?
So what we released on in our nutrition report and position statement on Sunday was that we're identifying a suite of measures to ensure that as a society, as a community, we're going to try and reduce the intake and consumption of sugar, which we know is, and when it comes to nutrition, a very significant role, has a very significant role in chronic disease, in a number of medical conditions. And if we look at in 2016, we know that poor nutrition was implicated in 1 in 5 deaths, and it was a second major risk factor for early or premature death after tobacco. So it's a serious condition. It's a serious set of conditions that we're trying to identify. And in targeting sugar, we're trying to reduce, obviously, the consumption, because in particular, some of the consumption is enormously excessive and can only result in poor outcomes and poor health outcomes. And we believe that if we present information which increases the health literacy of society as a whole, but of all the consumers, they will start to make decisions based on future health outcomes, and they will vote in favour of making the changes to ensure that, you know, they live healthier and longer and more active and happier lives.
Now, just in terms of the health literacy that you're talking about, just what are some of the major health issues that we need to be aware of that excessive consumption of sugar sweetened beverages can cause or contribute to?
Well, sugar sweetened beverages essentially contain no nutritional substances of any description. And so what we're really seeing there is if we look at a can of a cola, for example, it's got around 10 teaspoons of sugar just added. Now, if you put a glass of water in front of you and put 10 teaspoons of sugar, you would balk at drinking that. Mm. And that's essentially what we're doing in terms of some of that. So the consequences of that are quite simply that we have increased rates of obesity, and in terms of the community, two-thirds of the community are either overweight or obese, and that's putting enormous pressure on our healthcare system. But the conditions in particular, increased rates of diabetes, increased rates of heart disease, certain cancers. So it really does have a flow-on effect. Mm-hmm. And when you're looking at the fact that we're living longer as a society and that we're, you know, presenting, and during that time we're going to present with more and more illnesses, you can see how the healthcare system is going to groan under the effects of increasing diseases that are, such as the ones I've just mentioned, and including the obesity epidemic, which shows no signs of abating.
Mm. Now, there's already been a sugar tax implemented overseas in England and some states of America. Why do you think that we're still behind these countries in implementing a tax for soft drinks?
Implementing a soft drink tax is obviously one of the measures that have been introduced in many, many countries overseas, as you've mentioned, including most recently Mexico, where we saw the introduction of that tax lead to a 12% decrease in the amount of the beverages sold in terms of sugar-sweetened beverages. And that is predicted in that society alone to have the potential to reduce the number of diabetics by 134,000 over the next 10 years, newly diagnosed diabetics. So you can see, when you know, in Australia, diabetes is the silent illness that's on a tear away incidence increase. And anything that we can do that will be a positive. Now, why are we not moving? Well, purely because, unfortunately, we're a significant producer of sugarcane, and obviously that there are interests which would be concerned about the introduction of a sugar tax, and especially with the state of government and the state of the seats in the House of Reps in particular. There is a very fine balance. Anything which would send a message, potentially of a fear message, would be particularly hard to implement, you might say. But the message is that really, this is about ensuring that any tax would be a long-term gain to the health system of if something like about $3.4 billion is the cost at the moment to the health care system for these the types of related illnesses. And the amount of tax would be minuscule compared to the amount that, that we would save in terms of the healthcare savings.
Hmm.
And it's a, and most of the sugar cane that we do produce is exported. So in the fact that what the immediate impact from an Australian reduction on, you know, in terms of that sugar tax would be really quite small in comparison to the production, and really a case where fear is out of proportion to the actual benefit to society as a whole. We need to address the issues, and the issue is that our sugar consumption is out of control. We need to ensure that water becomes the default beverage, especially for our children, and we need to ensure that health literacy and understanding what makes up good, nutritious food and the water intake is part of the conversation that's instilled in our young children from an early age, because that's when habits are formed.
Mm.
And those habits will last them their lifetime and see them in good health.
Mm. Now, if you just tuned into The Daily, we're speaking with Dr. Tony Bartone, Vice President of the Australian Medical Association, about a proposal to place a tax on sugary beverages and a ban on junk food advertising. Now, Tony, similar taxes or levies have in the past been placed on cigarettes, alcohol, and they've raised concerns about individual freedoms and the individual consumer's right to make their own choices. What do you say in regards to the argument that the responsibility to make good choices lies in the hands of the consumer?
And that is obviously true. But what we're saying here is that we're trying to send a price signal so that there's a discretionary opportunity to make that decision. And you make that decision that you can have a lower cost sugar-free or lower sugar alternative, or you can pay a bit more and have the full sweetened product. We're asking that people make a decision and think about what they're choosing, and then make a decision in terms of their long-term health outcome.
Mm-hmm.
With the beer, with the unleaded petrol, those decisions those price signals sent an opportunity to make a change in their discretionary behaviour, and that's all that we're saying. We're not trying to force or impose wills on people against their better judgment. We're just trying to present them an opportunity to make a discretionary choice.
Mm.
But the thing is, it's about also ensuring that there's an appropriate access to fresh foods and water. Now, regional communities, there is no opportunity to have access to, or have at least access to, competitively priced nutritious food. And that's where it's ridiculous that a bottle of water should be more expensive than a bottle of soft drink.
Mm. Well, Tony, thank you so much for joining us today and giving us your insight into this matter.
Not a problem. Have a very good day.
You too.
Thank you.